Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. And you have a sales staff that is there for you, not just there for the sale. And a service department that is there with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance. And because they've been so good for 107 years in the SMC's existence, they're looking for more awesome technicians ready to serve you. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you are an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they'd love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Another loaded show today in a little bit at 3:20. The voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Bill Hillgrove, joins us at 3:20 to get the Steelers' take on the Battle of PA this week at the Link, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Of course, you can hear the Steelers and Bill Hillgrove and their broadcast over on 100.9 The Valley. You can listen to Merrill, who joined us yesterday, Mike, and the Eagles broadcast over on Eagle 107. Steelers broadcast begins at 11 on The Valley. Eagles begin at noon on Eagle 107. So Bill Hillgrove at 3:20 today. Final week of the regular season for our high school football roundtable at 3:35. Then we'll start getting into the playoffs next week with Lewisburg and Selins Grove. So it's our final week talking Shikellamy. Shikellamy's got Southern Columbia Friday night on WKOK at home for their season finale. Lewisburg and Mifflinburg will battle for the Little Brown Jug in Mifflinburg over on 100.9 The Valley. And on Eagle 107, or check that, I should say, on 94KX on Friday once again this week because of Game 1 of the World Series on Eagle 107. On 94KX Friday night at Selins Grove and Midwest in their new Route 522 rivalry. So that's what's coming up. So we'll break down all those games coming up at 3:35. Then more countdown to Penn State and Ohio State. Aeneas Hawkins on the show today. And Reginald Walker Jr. back with us today as well. So we got a lot of football to get to. Always looking forward to that. And as far as the game goes for Saturday, I guess there, I'm sure you saw over the course of the last couple of days, that there were some issues with the student section during the whiteout last week as far as students trying to get in orderly fashion. So they've made some changes. Penn State mentioned that yesterday.
Okay. I heard something about it. I honestly don't know what did or did not happen there. So that's why I won't comment on it, because I try not to comment on the things I don't know anything about. So I heard about it, but that's about the extent of it. I heard about it. Sorry. Not the answer everybody was looking for, but have sort of made it a policy not to talk about stuff I'm not quite sure about. Erica Dombach on women's soccer and James Franklin tonight on the show. And that's what we have tonight. I did not realize, but I guess every single night between now and November 22nd, there's a football game on TV. Do you know that?
That's a good problem to have.
Well, the last couple of nights have been awfully lean. Very lean, to be frank with you. Really wasn't much to watch. I mean, it's a little early to think about the NBA. Yeah, I watched a little bit of hockey the other night, saw a little bit of the Flames and Penguins game. But, yeah. But how about that? Every night between now and November 22nd is the... So it's Wednesday, November 23rd? 5, 12, 19, 20... Yeah. Is the first time that we will not have a football game on at night. Starting tonight. How about that? I mean, we wouldn't have had a sports problem the last couple of nights had the Yankees been able to muster on a couple of runs. But, you know, it's like, again, your team killed the sports thing because they couldn't extend the series.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, even you gave up.
You're correct. I did. I did.
I mean, even you gave up.
Hey, you can put some equal blame on the Padres, too, you know.
No, they don't have a $5 billion payroll.
Valid point.
If we blame the Padres. What are you talking about? Blame the Padres. What are you doing? Typical Yankee fan. Always trying to shift blame someplace else. You can admit you were. You were trying to change the subject.
Yeah, sometimes self-denial is the best medicine.
Is this what you're going to teach your two boys?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
This is just for me for right now.
Oh, okay. I got you. So, in a pinch. In a pinch. All right. Couple things to bring up about the game on Saturday. The running game, obviously, we talked about the running game is going to be important on each side. The running game for Ohio State is really good, and it allows C.J. Stroud the ability. You already have a team off balance, and it gives their passing game, which is already dynamic to begin with, even more firepower because they have a running game. Travion Henderson has that burst. I know he's been hobbled a bit, but it looks like he's feeling a lot better. And Mayan Williams has been just terrific for them. You know, everybody always talks about the five-star guy, which I understand, which gets everybody excited. Well, he was a three-star guy out of Cincinnati. Same high school that produced Deron Cage, who's their starting defensive tackle. And he gets tough yards. And the tough yards that he gets are a big reason, help them to win You know, Stover's a good blocker. Mitch Rossi, 34. Watch out for him. They'll bring him in as a fullback. You know, an extra tight end, fullback, H-back kind of guy. All right. Blocks. I know they've thrown one pass to him for a touchdown. He's also run one other time. So it's not like he's never handled the ball. But that's how they play. There's another element, too, to this game. Penn State does this as well. So this is not unique to Ohio State. But they do a very good job, especially when they get into their dime package, where they got six DBs on the field to go with the two linebackers, three down linemen. They do a great job at disguising coverages. Really good job of it. So the quarterback and the receiver both have to be on the same page. And that's important. And it's the same thing with Stroud and his receivers, because Penn State will disguise coverages too, especially when they get into a dime package. I mean, both teams do it. But it's the ability to read it, and it's not just the quarterback reading it. Both guys have to read it. But that's another key factor going into the game that you need to at least think about when these, you know, when you get into games like this. They have a lot of talent. And they disguise it really, you know, and they disguise what they're doing out there pretty well. They caught Iowa. I mean, Iowa, Petras had a lot of trouble reading what they were doing. And then in Padilla, the same thing. They ended up throwing three interceptions in the game. But that is something that you need to look at. Same thing, though. Penn State does the same thing. I mean, believe me, they disguise coverages, too. They don't just sit out there and just do one thing and go, okay, beat it. No, it's not how it goes. The Yankees disguise coverages, too, but it didn't work. No. You're already mad at Steinbrenner, aren't you? Do you think George would have put up with this? I mean, they're backing Boone, by the way.
Yeah, not happy about that.
Why not? He's your manager. He wins like 90-something games a year.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
How about the fact that Bears are going to pay Quinn's salary the rest of the season? Eagles don't have to pay him. How about that? See that?
Howie being Howie once again.
There must be some reason why the Bears got rid of him. I don't know what it is, but like when you're willing to pay the salary, not good. All right, we got Bill Hillgrove coming up in a moment. In fact, you want to go to him now?
Sure.
All right. Hello, Bill. How are you today? Hey, Bill, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm ready. Snap the ball.
All right, there you go. All set to go. Undefeated Philadelphia and Pittsburgh coming in. Bill, the last two games, what have you seen from the Steelers' defense that really has made a difference in how they've played?
Well, I think there are fewer gash plays, and I think that's a good thing, especially the long runs. I think with the amount of people who have returned from, you know, the disabled list or injury list, I really think that, you know, there's hope there. And I'll tell you what, even the young guys that had to sub for the injured guys against the Buccaneers, they played pretty well. They played their butts off. So I'm a bit encouraged by what I've seen recently. I just think that the offense has to pick it up and quit turning the ball over. And that having been said, Kenny's first interception in Miami, that should have been a P.I., The guy was behind him. The guy never turned around. The guy put his hand on his waist and then clipped his heels. And I'm sure it was intentional, but it wasn't called, and you got to live with that. But, you know, that having been said, Steelers dropped four interceptions.
Right, they did. Now, the last one, that's just a rookie and a veteran baiting him. And that happens. I mean, the last interception,
he got baited into that. He'd probably run. But, you know, it's growing pains. You have to live with it. It's tough to say, but, you know, this team is retooling because Ben spoiled us for 18 years.
Absolutely. It would really help, though, and it helps any young quarterback if they can have a running game around them. What hasn't been working there, Bill?
Well, Najee doesn't look like the Najee I saw last year. I don't know if he's not hitting the hole quickly enough. I don't know that he's trusting his linemen well enough. But, you know, the ground game is just simply, it's basically stagnant. And until that changes, you know, they're going to have to use the pass to try to win games. And, you know, Miami sat around and asked to be beat, and we just didn't do it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know that Philly will do the same thing. I think that's a different animal. And, you know, they're coming off a bye. Steelers haven't done well in Philly, haven't won a game there since Roosevelt was in office, Teddy. But, you know, I'm encouraged. I just think wide receivers have to help Kenny more. I think he depends on Freiermuth. He depends on Pickens. They have good rapport. I just think that Deontay and Claypool have to probably do a better job of helping him. That's just my opinion.
No, I agree with you, Bill, because you and I both know if when a coach makes a decision on a player, it's about trust. And when a quarterback makes a decision on who to throw to, it's about trust. And you have to earn the trust. And Freiermuth and Pickens, it looks to me like I've earned his trust.
No doubt. And then people say, well, why don't they throw to him more? Well, the worst thing you could do is lock in on a receiver. You do right. That in that league, and the ball's going to go the other way more often than not. So he, you know, just has to keep working at the progressions, and I think the receivers have to do a better job of the routes and the depth of the routes, and maybe it'll click, and maybe we can pull a surprise on somebody.
Well, I'm looking at what they've done defensively. The last two games, they've kept them in the game, and they won the game against Tampa Bay, and they've done it without T.J. Watt. You talked about other guys stepping up, which has been really important. How impressed have you been in the last two games? By the way, some people have stepped up.
I have been impressed. You know, I like the schemes that they've done, especially against Tampa Bay. You know, they had Robert Spillane all over the place. I mean, he was a part-time linebacker, safety, mm-hmm. You know, and I really think that, you know, Terrell Austin will do a good job of maximizing their opportunities to win. No, T.J. Watt, they're last in pressures in the league, and I'd like to see that change, but, you know, if Highsmith is your best pass rusher, they're going to pay attention to him. They're going to pay attention to Cam, and the help has to come from other places.
And no question about that. They've been able to keep the score in a range where it gives the offense a chance. I do want to ask about Trubisky. When Kenny did get hurt against Tampa, he came in and directed a drive that put a touchdown on the board. What kind of pro did he show that he is in that moment? Because obviously anybody's disappointed they're not starting.
He cut it loose. And that's what we wanted him to do when he was a starter. And for whatever reason, and you can talk about Matt Canada, and you can talk about, you know, what the game plans were, but, you know, I appreciate the fact that he cut it loose. For those who want to bench Kenny, and I'll go back to Mitch, the question is he going to be of a mind to cut it loose? You know, he was put in an untenable position. Here's your job not to lose. You know, I don't know if anybody said that, but that's the way the situation seemed to be progressing. And I think he reacted that way. I'm not going to lose this. I'm not going to – well, if you play not to lose, that's what's going to happen. And so, yep. You know, I admire Mitch. And he's kept his mouth shut, and he's done everything they've asked him to do. And believe me, for a veteran and a guy who was the second pick in the draft to take a backseat to a rookie, it's not easy. And I tip my hat to him.
A lot of teams are playing the cover two high safeties, Bill. They're trying to make people, no matter what game it is, go 10, 12 plays to try and get their score. Or if they're going to go 10, 12 plays, then shorten the field up in the red zone. What's that been like for you to watch? Because the game has been so freewheeling the last few years. It doesn't feel so freewheeling across the league this year. Is that your impression as well?
Yeah, that's kind of it. You know, and often, you know, defenses will come up with a wrinkle, and it takes offenses time to adjust to it. You know, and I remember John Mitchell at camp one year yelling to his defense and his defensive line, hey, give him that little junk play. You know, because if you give them a whole bunch of those, they're going to fumble at some. They're going to make a mistake.
Right.
You know, it's almost impossible even for the best offenses to constantly put together 12 to 14 play drives because they're going to make a mistake. So the answer to that is more flash plays, so the drives aren't as extended.
Bill, I look at it this way: you're 1-1 the last two. So there you go. And so good luck on Sunday when they get the Eagles.
I think the bye is coming at a very good time.
Yeah, it probably is. But,
and
Bill, go ahead.
TJ Watt, hurry up. TJ,
yes.
Hurry up.
Yeah, please, hurry up. It would be great. Bill, thanks so much. Appreciate you as always.
Thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure.
Bill Hillgrove, the voice of the Steelers, also Pitt Panthers. And we'll come back, roundtable next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a great service department to back it all up. All right. So it's Seelens Grove's going to the playoffs. Lewisburg's going to the playoffs? Really?
They are, yes, yeah. A couple teams said no to the playoffs that were in front of them, and so they're going to get the chance to play next week.
And I just want to say with all due respect, and this is with complete respect, to me you got to be 500 or better to be in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's me. It's only my opinion.
I agree.
But if fans disagree with me, I totally understand. And I also understand they want to see their team in. I got it. I'm just saying from 30,000 feet, I'd like to see you be over 500 or better. That's me. All right. Does this mean this is the last game of the season for the Sioux to announce?
That is correct.
Wow. Okay. This is when I thought there was a lot of negative stuff. All right. Okay. So, just kidding. Zach, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Steve?
Doing well after I got some good news. Sorry about that, Matt. But really.
Bingo!
Your team down the stretch, why are they playing so well?
I think it starts with a couple things. First, I would say this team is finally healthy. I think you're seeing the team, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but you're starting to see the team that everyone expected in the offseason. They have a couple weeks now to work together. So you're seeing especially a lot of the skill guys being in the position that they were expected to be in at the beginning of the year. And most of those guys are sophomores and juniors that are, you know, starting to feel more comfortable in the positions that they are. And defensively, the defense just continues to do what they've done for really the last 10 to 15 years. And this 3-5 defense is flying all over the place. They're making plays. And they're really not allowing teams to score a lot of points. Last week against Montoursville, they held Montoursville to 7 points, which was the fifth time this year where they've done that or less to an opponent.
Was there a turning point here in the last few weeks where you just felt like something clicked?
I don't know if you'd say a turning point, but it really was consistency, because this is a team. Even when they were struggling earlier, they were gritty. I know Coach Hicks and I on our pregame interview, it seems like every week there's been a question and talk about how resilient this team is. So really early in the year, I mean, just setting the tone that even though they're down in a game, they can come back. And, you know, that's happened. It happened against Hallidaysburg 2 weeks ago. This is a team that actually has turned over the football a little bit more than you're comfortable with, but it just seems like whenever that happens, you know, the defense makes a play and they come back and respond and you know, continue to be successful.
No, and that's a big part of it. You have to be able to do that in order to have some semblance of success. What kind of job's the coaching staff done to make that happen?
Oh, they've done a great job. You know, they've been able to move guys around. You know, one of the things I know that you've asked all three of us and we've talked about is just number of two-way players. Yeah. And one of the things that the injuries has done is it's allowed guys to come in and play. And now when you look across both sides of the ball, you rarely have more than two or three guys that are starting both ways. And even those guys, you know, are coming on and off the field because there's quality depth there. So that only, you know, that helps you to continue to be fresh throughout games. You know, a lot of that's credit to the coaches. And, you know, even sometimes you get lucky with those, which is funny.
Sure.
You know, last week, Selinge Grove was down a defensive lineman, and they stuck a senior who had played quite a bit of linebacker. I guess he played nose tackle in junior high, you know, as an inside linebacker, and put him at defensive end last week to see how, mm-hmm. and he ended up having 7 tackles and a sack and a couple tackles for a loss. So sometimes, you know, it's having that flexibility to try things out, and sometimes you get lucky too.
Well, it's Midwest this week. It's at Selinge Grove, Eagle 107. You can also see it at eagle107.com and the SBC Sports Live YouTube channel.
As always, Zach, we're actually going to be on 94KX this week.
We're on 94KX.
The Fightin' Phils are taking our spot tomorrow night.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you know where I get the information from?
Yeah.
Our website.
I can only guess.
Our website. There we go. The guy in the corner office is in charge of that, right, Matt? No answer. Zach, thanks so much.
S-U-I-T, that spells SUTA.
I mean, right there on our website. 94KX tomorrow. Zach, thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Shookalimming, after a loss at the hands of Mount Carmel, 42-20, will now take on Southern Columbia. Dave, it's been a long year. They did score some points on Friday night. What were your thoughts?
Well, after the game was over, I said to Kevin, I said, the kids entertained us tonight, and they really did. I think they had Coach Dara from Mount Carmel second-guessing a lot, and I think they proved that they can compete against kids that are 60, 70 pounds heavier than in the line, because we forced Mount Carmel to punt 4 times in the first half, and we're ahead 14-13 in the second quarter. We've caused some fumbles. We had an interception, and again, the defense played great. We moved the ball. The problem was we'd move the ball to the 30-yard line, and then we'd be either stalled or we'd get sacked and put ourselves out of position to score. But I thought that was one of the best games that the kids played all year long, Steve.
And why was that? I mean, you know, did certain things just click in for some of the kids?
I really think that it wasn't anything special. I think they played like they usually do. Whether Mount Carmel was taking them light or not, I don't know. I don't think so, because, like I said, that's a very good football team. Their running game, Shikalimi basically stopped that potent running game. We lost probably the last 3 touchdowns were passes, and they were all skinny posts, and we got beat that way. I really think that the kids have played hard all year long, and this year, in this game, the offensive line did some blocking, because it wasn't like it was getting 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We had a 90-yard run for a touchdown. We had a 42-yard pass and run play for a touchdown, and we drove the ball. I think the last time we scored, we drove the ball almost the length of the field. So I guess you could say it was magical if you want to, but I think it was just the fact that the kids, they played hard. I mean, they're the underdog. What did they have to lose? All right, really.
Southern Columbia has hit something called mortality this year. They're still good, but they don't win every game. Normally, they take the field. I'll be honest with you. They take the field. It's already 14-0. They've already intimidated you. You're done. That not this season. So, you know, how do you look at this matchup on Friday night at Chickalamy?
Well, Greg and I were talking about that a little bit, and he and I both think we can give them a football game, mainly because they're pretty well one-dimensional. They don't pass the ball that much. And if a team doesn't pass against us, that's a good thing. Yeah. The only thing is, if Woslowski gets the corner and you don't take the right angle, if you're a linebacker or a defensive back or safety, he's going to go the length of the field. So they have that big play back, and they also have a couple of other backs that are just good, hard, solid runners. Barnes, if he plays, is the same thing as Woslowski. They're just studs at the halfback and fullback positions. Their line, I watched them three times, and their line isn't as big as they usually are, and yeah. I don't want to say they're not as good as they've been in the past, but they have struggled from time to time. And if you think about it, Mount Carmel, I think, beat Southern like 35-20, and they beat us 42-20. So it's, you know, and both teams, I know Mount Carmel got the ball, I think, five different times on turnovers in pretty good field position to shut Southern down and score their touchdown. So I know you can't go from compare one game to another as far as opponents, but I think that the Braves will play pretty well on Friday night.
That'll be on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel and News Radio 1070 WK, and of course at WKOK.com. All right, Greg. Little Brown Jug game coming up, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, boys are excited about that.
Mifflinburg, Lewisburg. Well, how much more has the excitement kicked in because they've won a couple in a row?
Oh, I think that's a big deal, Steve. And they played well winning the games. That's one of the things. And they're excited about this game. They remember last year they beat Mifflinburg, pretty much the same teams, 12-6. The only difference is it was in a downpour. And this is supposed to be pretty nice weather tomorrow night for a football game. And it's at Mifflinburg also.
Right, it's at Mifflinburg,
yep.
And that, that will bring about the emotions
exactly
that we talk about.
Yeah,
but you know what? Lewisburg's put up 63 points the last two games.
Yes.
What's been better offensively?
Well, the offensive line, they changed the blocking scheme of the offensive line halfway through the season, and realistic, what they've done is they developed a running game, which that in turn has opened up the play-action passing. And the first two games with this, their starting quarterback was in concussion protocol. He's now back. Since he's come back, he's completed, 14 of 19 passes. That's been a huge difference. They've gotten, they've had a balanced attack, both offensively and defensively, but they throw the ball and they've been able to run the ball. And that's been a big key.
So for Dave and Greg both, sometimes when you go through and you're not winning games, the coaches will simplify some things.
Yes.
Now let's do some basics and simplify.
Yep.
Have each of you seen that with the teams that you're broadcasting?
For sure. For Lewisburg, yes.
Yeah. Coach Kaiser has gone back to more fundamental Delaware wing tee, yep, offensive plays instead of going to a lot of pro sets, and that has helped a lot.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. He simplified, I would say, as much as anybody could.
Yeah, and Lewisburg has essentially gone to an I formation in the backfield and a quarterback under center 80% of the time instead of running the RPO.
All right, so one final question, and this will be on 100.9 The Valley on Friday night, tomorrow night.
Yes.
And that's about last year, It was a 12-6 game. You said it's essentially the same teams. What are you seeing in the Mifflinburg version this year?
They, I think their quarterback is better this year than he was last year. He's a big kid. I'd say he's 6'3", 6'4", probably about 215 to 220 pounds. When he was a younger player, he played offensive and defensive line. So he is a big kid, and he's a heck of a baseball player. He has a running back that last week ran for 366 yards, Andrew Deal. He has another running guy, a Breed kid, that also is a good running back. They have a balanced attack. And the other thing this year, Steve, is right now coming into the game, Mifflinburg's pretty healthy. And last year coming into the Lewisburg game, they lost their running back very early in the game. And again, like I said, it was a night, man. It was just windy, rainy night. It was an ugly night. Not a good night for passing, which really benefited Lewisburg because that essentially took the Mifflinburg quarterback out of the game.
Well, it's going to be a beautiful October night tomorrow night.
It will be beautiful, yep.
Hopefully everybody gets out to every game across the area. And to the, Lewisburg and Mifflinburg speaks for itself. It's the little brown jug game.
Yep.
Seelens Grove's playing well. That speaks for itself. For Shikellamy, this is the last game for those kids on this field, including the seniors. And I would hope that people come out and give their full support because they put in a lot of time, no matter what the record, to get out there and play well.
Now, we've had excellent support all year long. It's nice that the community doesn't give up on a team, just because they're not winning everything. So I think we'll be fine tomorrow night.
Cool. Guys, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Is there anything that you wanted to say at this point about the Big Ten schedule next year? I know it's something you addressed at Media Day, but it actually came out and you're on the road again.
I prefer to talk about it later. Pat's already addressed it. I could bring it up and then do another dramatic pause for a couple seconds and go from there.
Yeah. I mean, so everybody understands. Obviously, I talked about this yesterday. And as the broadcaster, I don't care where we go, who's first, second, third, whatever. I'm just thinking about the programs. And to me, my commentary yesterday was more of an organizational comment about the Big Ten. In other words, I don't think they're paying attention. You know what I mean? That's my biggest point is that, guys, you got to pay a little more attention to some of these things. I kind of feel like the computer spits it out and they want to make sure certain matchups are there, which I understand. So they have certain matchups that are really important for the TV brand. I got that. That's fine. But you've got to be able to take care of the little things and the big things take care of themselves. And I feel when it comes to things like this or Illinois not getting a Saturday home game in basketball last year, as an example, those are the little things falling through the cracks that I don't think they're paying attention to. And, again, if you're not paying attention to little stuff like that, how are you going to do something like integrating USC and UCLA and when you're not paying attention to what you have now? That's, to me, it's from an organizational point of view more than anything else where you sit back and say, really? You didn't notice this?